Returning to Radio Parallax for this segment is Dr. Whitney Lehman, PhD from UCD in Environmental Engineering. We had a talk a few weeks back on the subject of factory farms and what that meant to America in terms of antibiotics, hormones, et cetera, in the meat. And, well, first of all, thanks for coming back, Dr.
Thank you for having me.
We mentioned last time a little bit about the treatment of animals in these factory farms. And it's such a vast topic that we couldn't cover it in one go through. So let's talk a little bit more about this issue.
I think there's several aspects to animal welfare. Before slaughter, during slaughter, there is abuse on factory farms. There's a subject of downed animals. And there's also the idea that there's some kind of inconsistencies in the way that people view certain groups of animals, and also the settings in which infliction of pain and suffering on non-human animals is considered acceptable. There's huge differences between how we would treat the same animals in a factory farm setting versus, say, a personal setting.
Now, this issue certainly inflames passions in people, and you hear a lot of strident rhetoric on both sides. The industry certainly likes to point out that we have to do these things to be efficient in our production of various meats and poultry, etc. I think when you start talking about exactly the nuts and bolts of how this is being done to a lot of animals, I think the average person does get a little bit uneasy.
I would assume so, and the average person probably doesn't know a lot about animal welfare before and during slaughter because they don't want to know. You know, meat comes neatly packaged in the supermarket, and
right.
People grill it up and eat it and don't really think about where it came from and the fact that an animal had a pretty miserable life on a factory farm before it turned into your steak.
The Humane Farming Association has an expose here on the pork industry that I think I'll read this here. Time was when a ride in the country would bring glimpses of pigs walking outside rooting in a comfortable hole in the cool ground, or of a sow and her piglets resting in the shade. Today's pig farm is often a depressing collection of windowless metal buildings concealing pigs confined in crates, cages, and bare concrete pens. In the last decade, well over half of all the family farms raising pigs have been put out of business. Enabled by drugs, which allow animals to be intensively confined, and encouraged by federal tax breaks, which favored large-scale corporate agriculture, industrial pig farms now dominate the pork industry. This has created dire consequences for family farmers, consumers, the environment, and of course, the animals.
That's absolutely true, and not just for the pig or pork industry, but for the beef industry and chicken poultry industry as well. If we want to talk about a little bit what happens to certain types of animals before slaughter.
I think we should.
Okay. Let's start with chickens. They're confined like most animals are when you have 100,000 of them and you have to keep them in a small place. Chickens are confined in battery cages, which are metal cages stacked one on top of the other. There can be as many as 9 to a small cage. They can't turn around. They can't move their wings. Some of them are blinded by ammonia from feces falling on them from chickens in cages on top of them. The ammonia in the houses that they're sheltered in is overwhelming. There are infections. Most birds suffer from salmonella infections. They don't necessarily get sick from it, but consumers will if the meat is not cooked. Also, there are painful practices involved.
And I should say that if I were to have chickens in my backyard and I wanted to house them as they are in one of these factory farms, basically, I believe the SPCA would take them away from me.
Absolutely. If I had chickens confined 9 to a small cage and say, like, I turned out the lights and I didn't give them any food because I figured, oh, they're at the end of their useful lives. This is a practice called force molting, where you don't give them any food. You get them to lay as many eggs as possible, and then you send them off to slaughter. If I were starving my chickens and keeping 9 of them to a cage and then maybe even slaughtering them myself, I could be subject to criminal prosecution. The same with cows or pigs. If I had a pig and I confined it to a pen and kept it tethered and never let it out of the pen, I could be criminally prosecuted. But these practices are completely legal and acceptable on a factory farm.
I've often toyed with the idea of being a vegetarian because I have to admit the idea of killing animals does disturb me. In this picture of a cow looking up at the camera, I guess a Veal calf is quite a heart-rendering photo here of what it's like to be one of these animals. And why don't you talk about that?
Veal production is exceptionally cruel. Veals are kept in very tiny confinement pens where they're never allowed to turn around or move because the meat is supposed to be kept tender. Also, veal is kept anemic. It's called milk-fed veal. Milk does have some iron. I'm not exactly sure what veal is fed, but they do try to keep veal anemic so that their flesh is lighter. So this is an animal that has not been able to move or and is iron deprived, and it spends its very short life like that before being sent off to slaughter.
They show pictures of these calves in a pen that they can't turn around in.
Absolutely. My personal philosophy on being a vegetarian is that I don't have to kill something. I especially don't have to treat something cruelly, but I don't have to kill something to eat it. For dinner or to survive. I mean, if I were a panther or a shark, I would have to kill things to survive. I don't have to do that. And I especially don't want something raised in a very cruel and inhumane way.
Most people are not vegetarian. I mean, certainly vegetarian diets have a lot to recommend them for, and maybe not the least of which is the fact that animals don't have to die. But most people do eat meat and do enjoy eating it. But I think most people, if they saw this picture that I'm looking at right now, would be very disturbed at how this beef's being produced.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of painful practices involved, too, in factory farming. When you crowd animals together, they don't behave naturally. They develop obsessive behaviors. They develop some sort of cannibalistic tendencies. As a result, chickens, as an example, are debeaked, which is a painful... They're debeaked.
How do they eat?
Not very well, probably. Apparently, they do. They get enough to survive, I'm sure, and produce eggs. But they are debeaked so that they don't peck each other or themselves.
Meaning you just sort of like round part of the beak off? They chop part of the beak?
I think there's a picture in some of the literature I gave, too.
Chopping off a toenail?
Absolutely. They have this... a hot blade that cuts off the beak. It's a machine, and they just force the chicken's head up to this machine and tear part of the beak off. That does cause the chicken's pain. And
no, I did not know this at all.
Absolutely. Chickens are treated abominably, certainly worse than beef or pigs or cows or steer.
Well, you know, being that we are on a radio station and what is, you know, some people might argue one of the world's finest, if not the finest, agricultural universities. I think we have people out of that know a lot about this that I hope will maybe email us at info@radioparallax.com to educate us about some of these aspects, round out the picture we're presenting here, because I find this to be rather hair-raising.
Absolutely. I think most people do accept killing as an acceptable act if it's done in self-defense, but I just can't construct a self-defense argument for this type of treatment of animals. If you wanted to say, I have to eat, I need to kill something to eat, you know, that's one thing. I could maybe understand that. But you don't have to treat something inhumanely, torture it for dinner. There's just no reason for that.
And as we pointed out last time you were on the show, in the old days, I'm sure man herding out in the fields by using cattle, they could eat grass that was not available for human consumption, and therefore you increase the resources available for you to eat. But today, if we're shoving corn down their gut at subsidized prices that's cheaper than what you can raise it for, we've perverted the whole economics and environmental balance of things.
Absolutely. And back to the factory farming issue, although I don't personally agree with slaughtering animals for food, it can be done, I assume, fairly humanely, and animals can probably have a decent life before they're killed. But if we go back to the factory farm, because of this intense farming, to make a large profit, you have to kill lots of animals, and you have to raise lots of animals, and it's cheapest if it's done in close quarters. So we have confinement, we have some painful practices, castration, debeaking, dehorning, things like that, that need to be done to keep all these animals close together. Then you're talking about infection and some other problems that happen because these animals are in close quarters and they're basically wallowing in their own feces. That leads to some health issues and antibiotic use.
Rampant antibiotic overuse, I guess we should say.
Antibiotic overuse, absolutely.
70% of the U.S. production of antibiotics, we should remind you, apparently goes simply into animal feed, not to treat the animal for infection, but simply to help it grow faster, like suppressing the growth of some bacteria in their guts. Now let's talk about a little bit what happens when an animal has to go to slaughter.
Okay, well, we can pick beef as an example. I hate to call it beef. It's steer, cows, except for meat that's produced for, that's ritually slaughtered for kosher or halal consumption, in which case animals don't have to be stunned. The animals, the first thing they have to do is they're stunned, and so they're basically rendered brain dead using a captive bolt gun. I think that's the name of it. And then they're bled and then eviscerated. And this is all supposed to happen after the animal is stunned. A woman, actually, I think her name is Temple Grandin. She's at Colorado State University. An autistic woman has devised a number of procedures that have led to more humane slaughter practices so that the cows can't see where they're going. They don't know that they're going to slaughter until the very last minute. There's a number of chutes and tubes that lead to the actual conveyor belt where a stunner will stun the cows.
Because otherwise the animals do sense that something really terrible is happening and they panic.
They panic. And then trying to control, you know, a steer that weighs half a ton is dangerous to the workers. But
some of that must be done now, because apparently I didn't realize that if a large release of adrenaline takes place as an animal is being slaughtered before it does panic, it has a chance to panic. It actually, in some ways, it renders the meat less valuable. It changes
to the American consumer. American consumers don't want adrenaline in their meat for flavor and color reasons, but there are some cultures that do want adrenaline in their meat, and they actually torture the animals before they die to get meat that's high in adrenaline.
I've heard that, like in the Philippines, where they sometimes eat dog, that the dog is strangled in a way that, you know, not rapidly,
slowly,
it's strangled,
yes.
So the dog is very stressed out and that the meat is filled with adrenaline.
Yeah, I think that's true. Also in Korea, that's in China, those are fairly common practices. There are dog markets. People like dog meat and they want dog meat that's high in adrenaline for a variety of reasons. Taste is just one of them.
You know, we should stress, I think, that at this point, that we're not talking about, you know, the family farm at this
Absolutely.
Point. We're not talking about how things have been done, you know, throughout all of history. What we're describing here are some recent developments by basically corporate type operations, again, that are, they make a lot of money, they get tax breaks. So they're continuing to make a lot of money to make sure they get tax breaks. There's this sort of vicious cycle going on that I talk to people that raise cattle, and they say they're pretty much at odds a lot of times with the beef industry over a lot of issues. But of course, who has the power and who has the politicians?
The beef industry is extremely powerful. And I'd like to talk about slaughter a little bit, actually, to go back to slaughter on factory farms. What's happened is in the last 10, well, not probably more than 10 years, probably 30 years or so, the number of animals slaughtered at these large slaughterhouses has just increased exponentially. So as many as 1,000 hogs can be slaughtered an hour and 300 cows slaughtered an hour.
And 1,000 an hour?
1,000 an hour, which is just unreasonable. The production, the slaughter line speeds are so fast that the workers can't reasonably keep up with making sure that the animals are properly stunned before they're killed. And so what has happened, and it's been documented many times, I can recommend a book called Slaughterhouse by Gail Eisenitz, who's documented over and over the cases of hogs and steer being slaughtered alive because people just can't keep up with slaughtering that many. And the slaughter lines don't stop. You know, the company is there to make money. And at those speeds, slaughter is going to get sloppy, and that's another problem.
Yeah, and the whole issue of, like, you know, gut contamination, E. coli and the like, I know for a fact that people say that in the old days, on a slower operation, they could more carefully eviscerate animals and therefore prevent, you know, this antibiotic-laden gut from, in effect, contaminating the meat with feces. Mm-hmm. But under modern production speeds and sloppier operations like you're describing, it simply isn't possible to minimize contamination as well as they used to be able to.
That's very true, too. And another, I think probably the major source of fecal contamination in slaughterhouses is the hides of the animals when they come in.
Sure.
The animals have been standing in their own feces probably for most of their lives. And so when they come in, they have feces on their hide, and it just leads to contamination throughout the plant. When you're talking about thousands and thousands of animals a day, one person doing the slaughtering might have to slaughter 2,000 animals on a shift. It's just overwhelming for the workers.
It's incredible.
For the workers and for the consumers who are getting beef that have been contaminated.
160 minutes and you slaughter 1,000, or you slaughter?
1,000 hogs, 3,000 cows at some of the large slaughterhouses. But
yeah.
One single person, a single worker, can slaughter 1 to 2,000, I've read 2,000 animals on a single shift.
Wow.
Leading to high injuries.
Well, Dr. Lehman, we are running short on time. We've studiously avoided, I think, in this segment, trying to be inflammatory. There's a lot we could talk about that goes on in the terms of what goes on animal slaughter. That's pretty gross, pretty hair-raising.
Yes, I would recommend that people go to PETA or the Humane Farming Association or pick up the book Slaughterhouse by Gail Eisnitz to read more about that.
Yeah, before we go, I think we should, you've been mentioning about downed animals.
We were talking about downed animals. There's two topics, really, kind of abuse on factory farms and in the slaughterhouse, because there are these very high production rates and high slaughter line speeds. Yeah. And animals that are frightened are not easily stunned, and there are many cases of abuse. Workers have to beat hogs in particular senseless with rods. They say they have to do this because the hogs are difficult to contain, and they have thousands of them that they've got to get into the boiling tank. And so these people are very underpaid and probably not very educated and resort to abuse to do their job, basically.
Talk a bit about downed animals.
Downed animals are animals that are sick or injured, and there are really no regulations that govern the treatment of downed animals. Many people think that downed animals should be euthanized on factory farms,
but they're not. The slaughterhouse, or they're in the feedlot, and they just can't be shoved along because they won't get up.
They're in the feedlot, they're sick, or they're injured. A lot of animals have been bred so that their muscle mass is develop so quickly, and they become so large that their skeletal structure can't support them. Bones break, and they're just lying out on the field. There are thousands of these animals. If you can imagine a factory farm with 1,000 animals on a feedlot, many of them every day are going to be taken out because they're sick or injured. At that point, they could be euthanized on the farm, but they're not. They're thrown on trucks. They're taken to the slaughterhouse. They freeze or die on the way to the slaughterhouse many times before they're slaughtered, or they're just taken to auction or left for dead on what's called dead piles. They're treated extremely inhumanely.
Well, I guess in summary, what can the listener do about this? I guess first of all, you can not eat veal.
Yes, you cannot eat veal or chicken or steak or eggs or milk. But I would suggest, if you do want to continue to eat meat and animal products, to try to find a local family farm. And they do exist, I think, in small numbers. If consumers ask at restaurants that veal be taken off the menu, or at grocery stores, or if they ask that they specify that they want something local from a small family farm that's not treated with hormones and antibiotics, I think if people start requesting that more, obviously the supermarkets and restaurants will try to fill that demand.
They will respond to consumer demand. Another option you have, of course, is to go to the web. It's a goldmine of information, and I'm sure there's a lot of sources that are on there to tell you where you can, you know, find meat that's raised in a manner that, you know, you would think of in terms of the old family farm, what we think of as a more humane, at least, method of raising animals for food. Well, another interesting segment on environmental engineering from Dr. Whitney Lehman. Thanks so much again.
Thank you for having me as a guest.
Well, come again.
I would like to.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's program. You have been listening to Radio Parallax. I'm your host, Douglas Everett. Join us again next Thursday at 5 p.m. here on KDVS 90.3 FM. So stay tuned for Electricity and Lust to follow here on 90.3 with your host, Gina, a most interesting and eclectic selection of music.